Good morning. It's the 2nd of February. Our first reading today is Exodus 7 and 8. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Harry Tennant. Moses is sent yet again, but first he opens his heart to God. Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hearken unto me, who am of uncircumcised lips? Moses is not speaking of Pharaoh's lips, as a reference to Exodus 6 verse 30 will show. He feels, as did Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips. But the Lord will purge him by fire and faith. Then will he be able to speak alone with God, or deliver such an oration that the whole nation will heed. The Lord reveals to him another secret. Indeed, we may have already wondered in our hearts why Pharaoh did not seize him and set him in ward. See, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. The god and his prophet stand before Pharaoh. Like Jews of a later era, he calls for a sign. The circle of magicians look on. Aaron has the rod of God. It falls to the ground and becomes a serpent, then returns to Aaron's hand. Perhaps this looked like a trick familiar to them. At least they get to work and return every man with his rod, which they cast down, and lo, they are serpents. A neat response, and one which must have pleased Pharaoh as much as it discomforted, albeit momentarily, the bewildered Aaron. He casts down his rod, and the serpent appears once more, but with what new and unexpected voracity, as, like a pit, it devours every snake in sight. It returns to Aaron's hand, no fatter than before, simply the shepherd's staff, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Without further ado, the two brothers turn away, but return the following day and meet Pharaoh as he goes to the water. The goddess of Egypt, strong in her beauty, life-giving in her freshness, is turned to blood. The magicians seek or dig and find water and perform a trick, a miniature self-deception, in superficial likeness of the Lord's work. For 7 days the foul odours rise, and Moses returns, riding upon the power of the first plague. His stature increases daily. No longer will Pharaoh tower above him like a pyramid over a camel. He will have the dimensions of God in Pharaoh's eyes, but in his own he will be but a rod in the Lord's hand. The frogs follow. They are to be found in every place, high and low, convenient and inconvenient, in rare abundance. Naturally, the magicians had little difficulty in producing frogs. Pharaoh entreats, stay thy hand. Moses promises deliverance. Let Pharaoh name the time, and the Lord will effect the work. Tomorrow, tomorrow it shall be. That thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. None like God. None like our God. None of the glory belonged to Moses. It is the Lord's, and he is the Lord's servant. The stinking heaps of frogs on the following day give witness to the power of God's word. But when Pharaoh saw there was respite, he hardened his heart. Fast upon the heels of the receding plague come the lice, at the stretching out of Aaron's rod. The magicians gave up. This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh froze into obstinate resistance. There was no God but Pharaoh. The following morning he met Moses again on the way to the Nile. No longer was Moses reluctant, no longer fearful. Now it was Pharaoh who did not wish for a meeting and feared the consequences of each encounter. Again the plea for Israel's release, but without response. Then came the flies, like a cloud falling everywhere, without exception, wherever the Egyptians were. But in Goshen the air was clear, for God had said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be.